to What's the Mood, where we talk all things mood and mindset, sleep, nutrition, chemical health, and leadership. I'm your host, Julie Berry, from the Illinois Human Performance Project, and we are so glad you're here.
Today on our podcast is an ILHPP favorite, Bailey Cartwright. She was a D1 collegiate athlete, found herself in some injury struggles, and learned how to use her pain for greater good in the world. She is the founder of Stronger Scars and is here to share a bit of her story and learnings. Please welcome Bailey Cartwright. Hey, well, Bailey, welcome to ILHPP's What's the Mood podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you guys.
And we are excited to have you. I'll kick it off with this. You know, we have known you at ILHPP for a little while. Tell us a little bit about you, how we got connected with you, and lead us into what Stronger Scars is.
Yeah, well, so basically, I guess my name is obviously Bailey. Bailey Cullen now, used to be Cartwright, so I have both last names everywhere. I recently got married, but I grew up in a small town outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I mean very, very small. So I grew up playing soccer, and we kind of realized I was good at it, and that was a big deal from where I came from. And I kind of just, you know, dedicated my childhood to playing soccer. It was a whole family event. My dad was my coach, and we all just kind of rallied around getting to invest our time into something that I love to do. So I went to high school, and as I was starting high school, was starting to get looks at bigger schools, Division I schools for soccer, and ended up committing to play at the University of Notre Dame my sophomore year, I think, or end of freshman year of high school. And everything was just going really great. And I arrived on campus going into my freshman year of college, everyone gets to go and do summer school and just meet each other and play soccer. And it's just a really great time. And I started having calf pain. And I was soon then diagnosed with chronic exertional compartment syndrome, which is kind of a mouthful. And I really struggled with it. Obviously, you can imagine physically, but also mentally, it was a block that I've never had to deal with in my life. I never, you know, my life was pretty easy sailing until then. And things, you know, were always kind of, you know, I worked hard for things, but they were also, you know, put in front of me to be able to work hard for. Mm-hmm. And my injury made that, you know, feeling of always getting kind of what I wanted, for lack of better terms, really difficult. And, you know, I started a platform called Stronger Scars, which I myself share my story all the time about what I've been through with my injury. I ended up having 4 surgeries for the compartment syndrome. And I also allow other people to share their stories because I'm a strong believer that there's such a power in just sharing our truth and having a space to really be vulnerable. And that's when I came in contact with you guys, because another big factor in, you know, injuries is if you get a surgery, you're obviously going to get prescribed pain medicines. And that was something that I was really interested in learning, how that can affect student athletes, because we're in such a vulnerable position. And if something takes the pain away and makes us feel good, you know, sometimes that can be a really scary thing to go down the path of. So I worked with you guys starting back, I think, as soon as Stronger Scars started, my sophomore year. Mm-hmm. And you guys have been amazing. I love everything, you know, obviously the opioids, but just everything you guys do and everything you guys embody is, you know, in line with my mission with Stronger Scars.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. For those of you listening, Bailey was one of our keynote speakers for our summer conference. And before we started recording, I actually was sharing with her just how impactful her specific keynote was to students, just feeling connected, her vulnerability, honesty, and also like just life learnings based on arguably one of the toughest things you've ever had to go through in life. So tell us personally, what do you do to stay mentally healthy? Obviously, you've experienced a lot, and what did you learn in that time, and how do you apply that stuff to today?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that I instantly want to say is seek help. I think in today's world, we're getting so much better with, one, like resources being available, and two, that stigma I truly do think is starting to be broken. So seek help. Don't be embarrassed to seek help. I loved sharing with people that I saw a sports psychologist and other counselors throughout my time, because it was just helpful to talk to somebody who has nothing at stake in your life. So that was kind of like, maybe for somebody, a more extreme option for how I helped my mental state. But some little things that anybody can do is, one thing I love to do is just journal. I literally don't even have a prompt most times. I just go in and write how I'm feeling, and it just kind of lets me relieve how I'm feeling. And then I love looking back at what I wrote. So I still have journal entries from like my freshman year when I first got hurt. And it's just kind of crazy to read them and see how I was then and the state I was in and how much progress I've made since then. Mm-hmm. And another thing, like on a day-to-day basis, if I'm having a mentally tough day, I get off of my cell phone. I get off of social media. I think it is so easy for us to just fall into the trap of scrolling on Instagram and looking at, you know, the best versions of people's lives that they put out there for us to see. And I just love getting off my phone if I'm not feeling good myself, because it's just a bad trap to get into. I mean, like, social media obviously can be used for really great things, but more times than not, I feel like sometimes it's not. And getting off of it can be a really good way to just kind of refresh and restart your day.
Same, girl.
Right? And then the last thing that when I was thinking about this question was, I am a chatterbox and I feel better when I talk to people, especially those people who I'm close with. So if I'm having a bad day, I will definitely open up to somebody, whether it's like my mom, my husband, my sister, my dad, just being able to voice how I'm feeling and kind of be validated and also just get it off my chest is something that I found has been really helpful for me.
Yeah, that's good. Out of curiosity, when you sought help, was that something you independently did? Did someone you trust encourage you or help you on that path?
So originally, my freshman year is when I first started seeing my sports psychologist. And truthfully, I didn't know much about it. Growing up, that was not ever something that we ever talked about. I didn't know what it was. So my athletic trainer actually didn't force me to go, but very heavily encouraged me, told me like I really needed to go. And you know, I've said to him many times before, like, that was one of the most helpful things you could have done, because I do think it's one of those things, like, it's not always easy to make that decision on your own. So if you do have someone saying like you need to go, it kind of takes that pressure off of you.
Yeah, that's good. I was just thinking, if anyone's listening, like, yeah, sounds cool, but how do I do that
right now? Yeah. It's intimidating to take that first step and, you know, set up the meeting, because, you know, when it comes to going to get a physical or something, no big deal. It's just another appointment. Mm-hmm. But when it does come to doing something for your mental health that is sometimes visualized as a negative thing, it can be really discouraging. So,
yeah. Cool. So, your injury is a huge part of your story. From your experience, how would you say someone should help support an injured teammate or someone maybe in their life who means something to them who's dealing with an injury?
Well, this is a great question. Obviously, something that I don't know if there's one set answer, because we all react to things so differently. I think my own experience, some of the things that meant the most to me coming from other people in my life, I loved when someone would just say like, hey, I know you're having a hard time, I'm here for you, but then also give me the space. Like, if I don't want to talk that day, don't push it. If I want to talk that day, just open your ears for me. So I think letting them know that you're there if they want you to be, but not necessarily pounding on them that they need to open up to you, they need to talk, just because we do all react to things differently and we all do need our own time to process and open up about things. Another one that I originally like really struggled with early on in my collegiate career was, one, including myself in things, but then I also didn't feel like my support staff around me was including me in things as well. So I think including them in soccer things, including them in things outside of soccer sports, you know, I'm just used to saying soccer. But I think that kind of, it's just something that, like, it's hard. I get it, because when you're hurt, you're just kind of in a different headspace. Like, you're just not really in with, you know, the exact things that everyone else on the team is doing. But ultimately, like, it means so much to that injured athlete if you just go out of your way to include them. And I think one of the things I remember, so I was a psychology major, and we went over empathize versus sympathize. And I think if you can empathize with someone, which having empathy for someone is like, you can understand what they're going through. Like, it's maybe something you went through, or you can just on some level understand what they're going through, versus sympathizing, which you can't understand what they're going through, but you can still just say, like, I'm here for you if you need. So empathize if you can. Like, if you can share your experience with someone, if it's a similar experience, if you can do that and let them know that, like, you've been through it, you got through it, that's awesome. But if you can't, and you can just sympathize with them and say, like, listen, like, it's going to be all right, you got this, then do that. Anything you can do will help.
Yeah. The statement, like, I'm here for you, is so simple. I think sometimes we overthink what it looks like to empathize with someone when, you know, maybe you think you have to have it all planned out if someone comes back and says what they need you for. But really just hearing that is probably 70% of it sometimes, just being reminded that you're not alone.
Yeah. And I think too, I remember one of the things that I came to realize as I got a little bit older was, you know, I'm so, like, I personally am a genuine person, and I definitely seek out genuine people in my life to be close with. Mm-hmm. And I, like, I get it if all you can do that day is say to someone, like, how are you? And in a lot of ways in our world, how are you is looking for a one word answer. I'm good. How are you? But when you take it that next level and you say to someone, like, how are you today? How are your legs today? Like, how was that math exam? That to me is like, those are the times that I remember. And those are the people who I can look back and say, wow, they really supported me.
Yeah. Yeah, I can relate with that too. Yeah. So say you're the injured athlete. What do you do to not feel so helpless or sidelined? What's part of the ownership, maybe encouragement pieces that you can share with those listening?
Well, I think first and foremost, just know it's not easy. Injury aside, like, the physical battle I had, it sucked, but that will never compare to the feeling of just a lot of, like, feeling isolated, not feeling like I belong on a team, feeling like I let myself down, I let other people down. The physical side will never weigh out to what that was like mentally. So one, no, it's not easy, but, you know, dive into that and, you know, take up the challenge. Find ways to stay included. This was, again, like, kind of what I said earlier about the team including you. I think it's important to take ownership. And, you know, if you're at practice, you can do something else. So, for example, one of the things that I like to do was, while I was watching, I would, you know, take notes, or, I mean, I wouldn't sit with a pen and paper, but mentally I'd be taking notes. And then if my coaches pulled us in for a huddle, I would give, you know, feedback or an example or something I saw that we could work on. And that made me feel important, honestly, because, you know, they weren't asking other girls who were actually playing. But since I got an eye on the sideline, I was able to watch from a different perspective. So find, you know, with your sport or whatever it may be, find those ways that you can still involve yourself. And then the other thing that I struggled with was being happy for my teammates who were healthy and playing and thriving. It's just a tough thing. I think, you know, like, it's, you know, being envious or whatever the right word you want to use is, it's looked at as negative, which it's not great. But, like, I think at the end of the day, we're all just thriving to be the best versions of ourselves. And there's a way to still be happy for other people and wish that you were healthy and able to play. Mm-hmm. And I wish that I would have realized that sooner in my career, because I think I miss out on a lot of opportunities to be a good teammate. So finding ways to be happy for your teammates, you know, celebrating their successes, celebrating team wins, celebrating, you know, individual goals. That's something that it's not easy, but you will feel better in your recovery if you can figure that out. Mm-hmm. And then I always say everything happens for a reason. And the second that you realize your injury happened for a reason, it becomes a lot easier. When there's meaning behind something, yes, today's hard, but it's hard because it's going to be for a bigger picture, and it's going to be, you know, for whatever reason in your life you think that that injury happened to you for. I don't know, like a lot of things I say are very like deep and all about meaning and stuff, but that's genuinely how I think, you know, things happen to us for.
Yeah. When you were saying, you know, you wished you learned it sooner so you could be a better teammate, I was like, yeah, but I don't know. Did you need that? Did you need that in your life? Did that need to belong in your story so that Bailey could learn the things that she learned and grow and be the person that she is today and who she's becoming?
Right. I mean, it's interesting because that's now a perspective I have, because I mean, I wasn't always supportive. That's just the honest truth. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like you said, like it's part of my story now. And I feel like I can kind of help with people who are going through that similarly. Mm-hmm. But it's hard, especially when you've devoted much of your life to something and you finally get to it, and then it kind of just collapses right in front of you and other people are living that out. It's really tough.
Yeah. Yeah. I could talk all day about ownership, because I was just talking with my daughter. She reminds me of you. She's got big, big dreams to play college softball. And, you know, there's things you can own and there's things you can't. And so we use like the term all the time, like use it all, right? Something's frustrated. Girls are cheering chants that are negative at the way you're pitching. Channel it in the way that you throw your pitch or how you respond to that, or chant cheers that are positive, encouraging, because you know how much that sucks to hear psychologically damaging cheers, you know, and she's picking up on it and it's cool. But ownership is, it's like a lifelong learning, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So tell us, like, what are your goals for the future? You've got stronger scars. I think you're healed in some regard. Maybe you can tell us a little bit, but what kind of goals or hopes do you have for the future?
Yeah. So it's funny you say that. So I actually recently got hurt again. It's not compartment syndrome. I partially tore my Achilles. So I'm like a month and a half out now. I know. So I am going back to play soccer. So I'm switching things up a little bit. I'm going to a D3 school and just want to have fun with it. I should be back from this injury like pretty soon, so I'm not too worried about it, but I definitely lost the love of soccer throughout my time playing undergrad, and it is something that I have always loved doing and devoted so much of my life to, so I think I owe it to myself to finish it on my terms. Mm-hmm. So I'm going back. I'm getting my master's of business, and completely different than what I thought I wanted to do. I was in psychology, thought I wanted to do sports psychology, realized I don't. So I'm going to get my business degree. And with that, I'm hoping my lifelong goal with Stronger Scars is to turn it into a nonprofit. And one of the things that I've realized since not being at a Division I school, where everything was paid for by them, I'm having lots of medical bills now from PT and just the appointments I'm going to. And I quite frankly just don't understand how people can do that. You know, injuries are not something anybody asks for, and the financial burden that comes with them is scary. So I want to be able to have the nonprofit to be able to help people out who really need it, you know, with whether that's appointments, whether that's a boot, a brace, if that's PT, mental health services, because no one should be denied those services just because they can't afford it. And also just, I want to continue to share people's stories. Every time I get on a podcast, like I'll be nervous before because I'm like, oh, what's this guest going to be like? But I've truly just found that we all have one thing in common, and we just want to be heard. And so getting to have a space for people to be heard is something that I think will be a lifelong passion of mine.
That's very inspiring and admirable. I'm curious, since you have another injury, how do you feel like you're approaching this injury to injuries past?
So actually, I released an episode today and I kind of talked about this because my husband and I were talking, like, there's definitely a statistic that people who get hurt once are going to have a higher risk of getting hurt again. Mm-hmm. And it's tough because I feel like I'm going out of my way to play soccer this time. Like, it's not right in front of me. Like, I wasn't just going to play undergrad soccer. Like, I took a year off, never thought I was going to touch a soccer ball again, and now I'm doing this. So my biggest feeling is embarrassment, to be honest. I'm just feeling super embarrassed that I have to say to people, I'm hurt again. Mm-hmm. So it's weird. And like, I do feel like I have a lot more knowledge from what I've been through, but at the same time, it doesn't get easier. It really doesn't. And I think with re-injury, that's kind of one of the things that people don't expect. You know, you would think maybe it gets easier, but it doesn't. I'm struggling a little bit, but mm-hmm. the tools I have with how to take care of myself mentally have really been coming into play.
Thanks for sharing that. And that vulnerability, I think, is also what the world needs a lot more of. So appreciate that. What's like the biggest thing you're learning? Maybe it has something to do with that, or maybe it's something different.
Yeah. When I saw this, I was like kind of thinking, cause I was like, I sit at home a lot. I don't really do much. But no, one of the things that I think I've been kind of like struggling / putting more focus into learning is how to be a good friend to those people who I used to see every day at soccer practice and at, you know, just like in college, everyone was always around each other. So being friends with people was kind of just right in front of you. So I'm kind of learning how you have to actually go out of your way to like maintain friendships and to be a good friend. I actually got lunch today with one of my friends from college, and it just felt good to put in effort to see somebody and to like still have that connection and check in with them and see how they're doing. So even people who don't live by me, just being able to text or call them, even though it may seem awkward because you haven't talked to them in a while. Mm-hmm. Kind of one of the big girl things I've been learning how to do.
Look at that. That's great. All right. Well, I'll end with this. At ILHPP, you know, we focus on helping student leaders develop, lead their schools, their teams stronger together through our modules, just to be the greatest human they could possibly be. So who is a leader in your life that really impacted you? Like, you would not be Bailey Cartwright today if it weren't for this one leader. And obviously many leaders have influenced you, but who comes to mind that's just impacted you in a positive way?
Okay, so it's not like a famous person.
Doesn't have to be.
So I will say that my dad, okay, so he's always been my coach, and we've just always kind of bonded over soccer, and that man will always have a soft spot. Like, I, like, when injuries happen, like, when people would bring up my dad, like, I would just cry because, you know, I've always been raised that, like, we don't back down until, like, you can't. Like, you go until you can't. Mm-hmm. Nothing is handed to you in your life. And, like, our slogan has always been The Climb, you know, the song by Hannah Montana, The Climb.
Totally.
So whenever I was going through my injuries, like, he would just send me a letter and be like, you know, it's not about how fast you get there. It's about the climb. Not about the view at the end. It's about the climb. And that just really grounded me and reminded me that, like, it's true. Like, it literally doesn't matter about, you know, the end goal. It's about, like, how do you get there? Like, are you going through adversity? Are you just cruising? Are you giving up? And he kind of really implanted that into my everyday life. At my wedding, my father-daughter dance was actually to The Climb, which it's just, you know, I think lessons that we learn from our parents or the people in our lives are things that we take on with us forever. And mm-hmm. yeah, he's probably, you know, obviously if my parents are listening, you both have been great. But I love you too, Mom. But when I think of somebody who's really impacted, like, where I am today, I'd say him.
That's great. He sounds like a great leader. Well, that sounds like a perfect way for us to end. For those of you listening, if you find yourself struggling through adversity, it's
not really about getting to the top. It's about the climb. And Bailey, as an HPP team, we are cheering you on in the climb through recovery of your injury. And as you go into play this next season, keep going and keep inspiring people. It's really awesome to see. Thanks for being on our podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I loved being the guest and not having to scramble to find questions. So thank you.
Yes, no problem. Have a good one. Take care.